You have to operate in forbearance and forgiveness to keep the right kind of church. Because it don't matter how much you hug each other and love each other. You get this many humans interacting and functioning together, somebody's going to trip you up or hurt you or bump into your youngin' or something. And you're going to have, in a sweet shouting church, the devil loved to create bitterness and grudges and strife. You're just going to have to operate in forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness is forgiving somebody for something in the past. Forgiveness applies to past offenses. But forbearance is having enough grace about you to put up with things in the present. It's easier to forgive than it is to forbear. To forgive is, brother did that to me one time, but I forgive him. To forbear is to know brother's going to do that again next Sunday and I'm going to put up with it. This ain't in my little arranged thoughts here, but it seems to be in the mind of the Lord tonight. And you, believe it or not, people get hurt and leave the best church in seven counties. And go settle for something somewhere that neither God nor the devil's interested in. God ain't sure what they're doing and the devil don't care. And you'll go somewhere like that and leave something like this because somebody has hurt you. Now I ain't heard nothing. He ain't talked to me. Ain't nobody talked. I have to explain myself every week. It's called Holy Ghost preaching. Forgiveness and forbearance will keep your home together. It'll keep your youngins in harmony with you. And it'll keep things sweet down at the house of God. He forgave us. And He forbears us. And if He can do that for us, we ought to do it for us. Galatians chapter 4. And verse number 1 down through verse number 7. I better pray before I start reading. I got happy bubbles everywhere. Lord help us in this text. Give us what we need out of Thy Holy Scriptures on this sacred evening around the assembly of the Lord's people. Help us. Help me to do a thing tonight that I do not have the power to do. Lord, this thing's out of my hands. I can't explain Abba, Father. But Holy Ghost, You can teach it tonight. You can make it clear that I'm relying on You to roll back that eternal veil and let us ease out of this earthly atmosphere into the throne room tonight. Deliver me from my pride and my anxiety and any abilities I think I have. And let me be a man in Your hands tonight. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people say, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Whoop glory right there. God sent forth His Son. Made of a woman, made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. I got a comment on those verses before I get to my main thought. the progression he is talking about here, how we've moved from childhood up into maturity. He's simply doing there is a study here of how we have graduated in God's process from the law up to grace. How we move those tutors and governors in verse 2 are the rules and regulations of the law. And now, thank God, that in God's economy, we have been, the whole thing has shifted from being under the law to graduating into grace. I'm glad we're under grace. And I like verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. We're just in the middle of celebrating Christmas. And let us not forget what all that should be about. The blessed incarnation. God sent His Son. And I like that little bit, made of a woman. One of those old mountain preachers I came up under said, here, God let the lady get the devil back. He tripped her up in the garden. And it was through a woman that sin came. So He said that it was through a woman the Son came. And Paul talks about it in Timothy, but a woman can now be saved in childbearing. Simply means that in motherhood you can find your redemption. I'm not talking about salvation from sin, but I'm talking about it's your chance to get the devil back. Bring some youngins in this world, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and do something for God. No higher calling than that of a mother and a wife. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. This word redeem, there was a missionary to Africa who was translating the scriptures into the tongue of his tribe. He was doing that so they could read the Bible. And he asked one of the elders, he was having trouble bringing that word redeem out of the English understanding over into their tribal language. He explained the concept to one of the elders of the tribe and said, what should I put in this translation to redeem them? And the old tribesman with tears in his eyes who had been saved said, what you need to put here is the phrase to put out the net. To put out the net. And the missionary said, explain it to me. He said, when the slave traders would come through and take captive different slaves, said one could free another slave by approaching the chain gang, if you would, and they'd have collars around their neck and linked with a chain to those in the line. And he said if one wanted to free a slave, he could come up to those slaves and put out his neck. Said that he would put out his neck as he approached, and he was signifying that he wanted them to take the collar off their neck and put it around their neck. And said he would either make the payment that was asked, or he would take their place. And he said when the one wanted to buy back or bring back one of the slaves into freedom, said he would go up and put out the neck. And the old man said, I believe this is what this Jesus did, what you're talking about. On Calvary's cross, He covered both bases. He paid the price and took our place. Walked up to me and put His neck out. And loosened my chains and let me go. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here's my thought in verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I'm interested in this phrase, Abba, Father. Only the Lord can help us understand it tonight like it needs to be understood. It's the cry of a baby. It's an old Hebrew expression for father. As a baby would cry, father. Yet this expression, Abba, is an intimate expression. It's not just a formal title, but it's the cry of a baby, Daddy. A baby who really can't say anything else, maybe, but Mama and Dad. Abba, Father. I am glad for the indwelling Holy Ghost. He does so much in the heart of the church. And He does so much in the heart of the Christian. I'm glad that God sent His Spirit down into my spirit and the Holy Spirit cries, Abba, Father. God took His heart and put it in there with my heart because my heart just wouldn't do. My spirit just had too much corruption in it, so God put His Spirit in me. My heart had too many problems, so God took His heart and put it in me. Put His Spirit in there with my spirit. And the Holy Ghost cries, Abba, Father. Let me say three things about this and then three other things, if I get around to all that. Abba, Father. Three things here to explain it to you. And I hope you can leave tonight looking toward heaven and saying, Abba, Father. Number one, I want to say to you, it is a foreign language. Abba, Father. When the last time you heard anybody use the word Abba? Well, you had. As close as you may have got was Fred Flintstone, but that was Yabba, not Abba. I like Fred Flintstone. However, I like SpongeBob SquarePants much better. He's a personal friend of mine. I talked to him at Walmart the other day. SpongeBob. He is the man. But when... he ain't a Baptist. He's way too nice. But when Fred Flintstone said, Yabba Dabba Do, he wasn't talking about Abba. There is no English word for Abba. That's why it's in here. It's a Hebrew word. Abba. By the time it had made it down to Jesus' time, it was an Aramaic word. I'm not even sure what that's supposed to mean to us. That was the common man's language that day, is the Aramaic word. And these Gentiles here had to borrow from the Hebrews an expression in order to relate to God in such an intimate way. It is a foreign language. Let me say that to your hearts. It's a foreign language. It is a cry of a child who has been adopted into another family that speaks another language. We Gentiles borrowed it from the Hebrew. And in those days, it signified that. And let me say it again. It's a cry of a child who has been adopted into another family that speaks another language. Do you remember when all this church stuff was foreign language to you? You'd scare. And I know he'd scare. And I scared a few of them. Folk who come around the church that don't know anything about the Lord. Do you remember when it was a foreign language? And this little Abba is an expression, and it was when a child was adopted into another family that spoke another language. And that's all he could say, but he started with that, Dada. Foreign language. My daddy, when he got saved, was in his early 20s, fresh out of the army, just out of Germany. Running hard from God, quickly becoming the drunkard that he hated in his own daddy. But God caught up with him one night and saved him. He didn't up there on Highway 41 doing 85. I don't need to start telling the story. I will lose any trains of thought I have hooked up with. But God saved him by going down Highway 41, 85 miles an hour. The Holy Ghost sat down in the front seat with him and stopped. And if you don't understand that, you wouldn't even if we explained. He skidded them brakes on, preacher, and slid up there in the middle of a rainstorm and sat there shaking because he said God sat down in the front seat with him. And he was ashamed. He didn't have a pair of shoes till he was 8 or 9. And that was back in the days when everybody knew who the town drunk was, and it was my grandpa. And Daddy was ashamed to even come around what he thought was the good people and the church people and the civil acting people. His people had never done anything but cut each other and kill each other and cuss each other. God stopped him that night. He didn't even know he could get saved. He thought God only saved good people. The only thing he knew to promise God was, if you'll let me live till Sunday, I'll go to church with Mama. That's the only religious thing he could bring to the table. And from Thursday to Sunday, he couldn't drink coffee or open mail because his hand was shaking. And Grandma asked him, his mother asked him, what's wrong with you, Jim? He said, he's not getting enough rest. He said, yeah, that's what it is. He went to church that Sunday morning on the back pew and fell out in the middle of the service. They drug him down the middle aisle. One of them old-fashioned salvations. Holy Ghost conviction. Slumped over in the floor and they drug him down and laid him on the altar. When he got up, he had been birthed into a family that he did not know the language. They asked him to lead the singing. He had a pretty voice. I'm the only one in the family that don't. Three brothers, two sisters, mom and dad, everybody can sing except me. I didn't feel too bad sitting over here with this bunch because I was really outranking a couple of them. And they asked Daddy to lead singing and he said he didn't know a song. I never will forget. He said the first time, and what the way they do it, one of the old women would holler out whatever song they wanted sung. 57. Yeah. Daddy'd say, 57. They'd start singing, and he'd just wave his arm. Took him 6 months to learn the song. But Brother Ken, I remember when Daddy said the first time he ever looked down at the page that it said, Amazing Grace. He'd grown up around them hillbillies, and he always thought it was amazing grace without an A. Maze, like you're lost in a maze. And a lot of Baptists are. But I never will forget my old daddy telling that the day that he hollered out number 57. And he said, 57! Turned over there to see what it was. And said he looked down. My happy bubble's getting bigger on me. If it burst, I will embarrass all of us. He said, I looked at it and said, Amazing Grace. And he said he couldn't sing the song because he wept the whole, stood up there and just blubbered and looked at it. Yeah, it was dawning on him. It's Amazing Grace. See, he was learning. He didn't know the songs. He didn't know the scripture. It was a foreign language. Can I tell you, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are not natural to him. They're foreign to him. Brother, thank God that when a man gets saved, God puts the Holy Ghost in you and he begins to teach you the family language. My next door neighbor just got saved about 3 months ago. Me and Jennifer got a double wide on 0.8 acres. It don't get no better than that. On the side of a hill in North Georgia. And God moved me in there right between Brent and Carrie and Mike and Ann. And the Bible says if you want to do right, there's two things. About love God with everything you got and love your neighbor like yourself. And your neighbor is whoever God brings across your path. But I am glad He brought our paths across. But whoever God brings across your path, that's your neighbor. And I started begging God for the souls of Brent and Carrie and Mike and Andrew. And long story short, I got a knock on my door. There's all beer drinkers and the rock music would crank up and boy, they didn't know what to do with me. I'm not speaking boastful, I hope you understand it. But a man washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost will just make sinners real uncomfortable. I'd get that. I'm hung up on my first little point here, ain't I? Them others are being so neglected. Come out the door with that Bible and that suit coat. And they all put that beer back in and that cigarette. And turn the music down. And the devil tried to stop my witness the first month I was there. A squabble over a property line. And tempers were gone and tongues were going. And they jumped on me. And I wanted my property line where I wanted it. But God wanted them in heaven worse than I needed 2 feet of ground. And the Holy Ghost said, "Now, boy, you've been with me a while. Let's see if you've learned anything about acting like Jesus." He said, "You're doing some good preaching, but let's see how you're practicing. Anybody can say it, son. Let's see you show it." And my old man said, but the Holy Ghost stopped any of that before it came out. And I just hunkered over and soft answer turned away wrath. I just, I don't know. Whatever y'all say. Okay. That's fine. All right. What am I going to lose 2 feet of ground? You're losing more than you know. And so they say, "No, Brother Dean was nice." You can't help people that don't like you, and you can't help people that don't respect you, and you can't help people who don't think you're real. And I just humbled down, and boy, before long, them same folk that was a carrying on and walking over on my property and telling me whatnot was coming back on the same property with deer meat. And coming back over there with sausages. And coming over there to see if they could help me mow the yard when I was gone preaching one of the meetings. And the same fella said, "If you ever needed to preach around here, I believe we could throw you up a building." That comes from loving your neighbor like you're supposed to. And so I had a knock on my door. And old Mike was standing there. He's got a mustache, muscular boy. Big guy. He's standing there squalling like a baby. And I knew he wasn't sad about nothing. One of them, you know. I come out on the front porch. And he said, I went up on the mountain yesterday and got saved all by myself. He didn't know more how. Son, I grabbed him and hugged him. We squalled and bawled. And I said, let's have a prayer meeting. I said, "Mike, I want you to take my hand." I don't think Mike had held a man's hand, you know, since he was 5. He looked at me, looked at my hand. Grabbed my hand. I started praying. I prayed loud enough for people 2 miles away to get a gospel witness. I mean, I've told one of them old-fashioned camp meeting prayers on them. Not none of your little liberal, mushy-down kind of weenie prayers. Not one of them little polite. I mean, I prayed kind of like a dog fight. I mean, I just dumped the church service on them. He squawked and cried. I got done with that. I grabbed him up. I figured nobody giving the right hand to fellowship into the body of Christ yet it's my job. I grabbed him up, hugged him, and said, "Whoo!" Let, you know, teach him how to shout one time. He said, "Whoo!" There he went. I went in the house shouting, rejoicing. And 3 hours later, I come out on there with old Mike. He said, "Let's do that again." I'm telling you, it's what he said. He said, "Let's do that again like we done a while ago." And then we got done praying, you know, and he grabbed me, hugged me, and he said, "Woo!" It sounded more like Ric Flair. I think that's where he got it practiced, but I knew what he meant. And do you remember when that was you? Didn't know a song. Didn't know a verse. Told your testimony everywhere and didn't even know what a testimony was. You want to know how that foreign language got pumped in you and started coming out of you? Because the Holy Ghost stood up in your heart and began to teach you a language you'd never known before. That's a prayer language. That's a praising language. That's heaven's language. Old brother up here leading the singing, I think you ought to just execute every dead song leader in a Baptist church. Put them out of their misery, please, and help the rest of us. The man's growling in between verses. Did y'all hear him? "It's a grand and glorious feeling. Yeah, to be a child of God. How His love comes over me, killing and the best." Why, brother, and then our pastor here, a bona fide lunatic in church. I like the way he cries. The man is ugly, but when he cries, he's 3 times as ugly. God will humble you. And when he cried, he's just so ugly. But he can't help it. And he'll go up to the choir. And he'll say, "No, that ain't something that's coming out of their system. That's something coming out of the Holy Ghost system." You remember when you didn't know how to cry? That was foreign to you. Remember when you didn't know how to love? Didn't know how to hug. That was so foreign to you. Remember, and I didn't turn around and look. I was enjoying myself a while ago, but somebody here has got a good dose of shouting going on. And I'm not here to be rude, but I'm wondering how the rest of you are keeping from shouting during that same. Just curious about that. How do y'all keep from getting happy? Some of them done took it for granted. That's right. Yeah, so right. I'm not here to rebuke, but if I have to, I'm willing to. Yeah. I don't know if y'all know, but there's 7 tablespoons of Holy Ghost anointing on them choir songs. Yeah. How do you sit there like you're bored in between songs? Yeah. Yeah. Or during the song? Yeah. Yeah. It's got tones of angelic music when that choir starts singing, "Hallelujah to the Lamb." Start singing "Hallelujah to the Lamb." How do you? I'll tell you something, dear friends of mine. If we are not careful, we'll be guilty of Revelation 3:1. "Thou hast a name that thou livest and dost not even know that you're actually dead." He said, "Brother Dean, we're a shouting church. You don't need to chew us out for being dead." Tell you something, brother, what old B.B. Caldwell said about that church in Sardis. They had a name that they lived, but were actually dead. He said they were so enamored with their great reputation, they were blind to their dead condition. And you might be riding the skirt tails of his growling and his crying and his shouting, whoever he is. You better watch out riding them skirt tails. Holy Ghost, get down in here and start a hollering. "Father, Father, my Father, oh Father. Boy, I got to hurry because I want to say some stuff. It's a foreign language, Abba, Father. And it's a Hebrew word that the Gentiles have to borrow. And that ain't all we got from the Hebrews. We got that book from the Jews, and we got our Jesus from the Jews. It's foreign language. Ain't she glad you have grafted in Gentile? It's a family language. Back in this economy, there were slaves. There were servants in every household. And did you know that, listen, the servants were not allowed to use the expression Abba, Father, to the master. It was and that was in every commentary and every scholar I studied said it was a title and a term reserved only for true, full-blooded sons. The servants were not allowed. Did you see the text? I ain't got time to go back into it. You're no longer a servant, but a son. Can I tell you it's a family language? And can I tell you I got in the family of God every which way you could. How do you get in a family? There's about three ways. Number one, you can be born into a family. Number two, you can be adopted into a family. And number three, you can be married into a family. I got a little shouting spell, almost ready to break out on me. Can I tell you that He covered all three bases? He birthed me into the family of God when I was born again. He adopted me into the family of God and gave me the standing of a full adult son. And then He espoused Himself to it. We're heading for a wedding. We are the bride of Christ. He's going to marry us into the family. It's a family. And then let me say number three, it is a familiar language. It's a foreign language. It is family language. And it is familiar language. What do you mean by that? Well, let me explain it like this. There's only three times you find the expression Abba, Father in your Scriptures. One's in Romans chapter 8. The other one's right here in our text, Galatians 4. And then the first time is in Mark 14. And I believe it's verse 36. I'm not going to turn there. But if you keep in notes, Mark 14, 36, where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He sweated great drops of blood, in that most intimate and that most intense of moments in Christ's experience, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, and He cried, Abba, Father. Oh, my Father. Oh, dear Father, my Father. It's familiar language. The language of intimacy and intensity. It's Calvary language. It's the language of sacrifice and surrender. Father, You're my Father. I submit to You, oh my Father. Calvary language. He prayed, Abba, Father. I've got a good friend in Florida, pastors of church. He told me that I was preaching one night on this Abba, Father. And when I got done, he said, took me out back and he said, Brother Dean, I want to tell you something that might help you. I said, all right. He said, let me tell you a story of how God made this expression, Abba, Father, real to me. And I'll make a long story short. But he was sitting in his church office one day and got a phone call and said, come to the house quick. He lived about 12 miles out in the country. He said, your little 9-year-old boy has been run over by a car out at the driveway. Come quick. And whoever called him hung up. Didn't say nothing else. I couldn't imagine what went through his heart. And he said, I can't tell you what went through He said, fear and panic and everything you could imagine. And he said, I jumped out. He said, I run out the door and slammed the door and jumped in my car. And he said, I sped off down. And he said, while I was heading down to the house, he said, the ambulance passed me up. And he said, when it did, my heart sank even lower, if that was possible. He said, and I followed that ambulance right to my mailbox, and there was a car upside down in the ditch. He said, I could see what I thought was my little boy over there in the ditch. And here's what he said. He said, Brother Dean, when I opened up that door, he said, I thought this might help you preaching on Abba Father. He said, when I opened up my door and jumped out, he said, the first and only thing I heard was the voice of my little boy crying, Daddy, Daddy. The car had run over his pelvic area. And yet somehow at doing that, pinched off his blood and the boy was conscious. He said, I went over there and fell in a heap at my boy. And the men grabbed me and said, you can't touch him. Don't touch him. They slid him up on that wooden board and put him in the ambulance. He said, I sat in the ambulance with my boy, and my boy just cried the whole time, Daddy, Daddy. He said, we slid up to the emergency doors at the hospital and said, and them doors opened. He said, we walked in. He said, I was with my boy, and he was screaming, Daddy! Daddy! He said, they went into the big gray doors where they're going to operate on him. He said, right there is what I want to tell you about. He said, I walked up through them doors to go through there with the doctor, and the doctor turned around and stopped me and said, you can't. Just, you got to stay right here. And he said, as them two big gray doors, solid doors swung shut, he said, the last thing I seen was my boy crying and hollering for Daddy, Daddy. He said, when them doors shut, he said, God spoke to my heart two things that forever changed my Christian life. He said, I watched my boy go out of my sight hollering for me. He said, then doors shut and God said to me, now you know how I felt when I watched my boy go out of my sight on Calvary crying for me. My God, my God. He said, and immediately the Holy Spirit said a second thing. He said, and now you know how I feel every time you holler for me. He said, my heart broke and I wept. He said, the pain and the intensity that I was feeling and the overwhelming desire and love for my, as my boy hollered my name, he said, God told me, he said, now you know how I feel every time you holler for me. The boy came out, God delivered him, brought him out, restored his whole area, and he's up walking a healthy young man now. But Brother Mike said to me, he said, every time I look toward the Lord now, he said, Brother Dean, you can believe this or not. He said, I've been delivered from all unbelief and doubt. He said, never do I look toward heaven without, when I say Lord, Father, he said, every time I remember my boy hollering, Daddy, and I remember the Lord said, that's how I feel when you holler for me. And he said, boy, you talk about the heavens opening up when you look toward heaven and speak his name, Father, Father. And knowing that's the kind of love greater than that even that he has for me. It's familiarly. It's Calvinly. Let me say three things now in closing. Let me say this to your heart. Three things and I'm done. I won't preach it. Let's listen. Abba Father. Number one. I have the right to say Abba Father. Because I'm no longer a slave, I'm now a son. I have the right. I've been made a son. To look toward the heavens and say, Father, and know that all of His desire and all of His energy and all of His interest is on we who have been called the sons of God. He put His neck out for me at Calvary. He paid the price and took my place and adopted me into His family. I'm no longer a servant.
I'm now a son. I have the right to say I'm a father. Number two, I have the relationship to say, Abba, Father. I've been adopted, I've been cleared, I've been birthed in the family of God, and I have the relationship to say, Abba, Father. Number three, and finally tonight, and I want this to sink into your heart, I have the reality of Abba, Father in my heart. Did you see what our text says? He has put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's a reality. You know, people used to ask me, Brother Bowman, son, why do you shout? God saved my daddy, and then he later on got called to preach. And I was born and raised up in a preacher's home. At the age of 13, God called me to preach, filled me with the Holy Ghost that night. We run and shouted up until 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's no exaggeration. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We had church from 7 to 9, and then God started the service at 9. 36 folks got saved, 5 called to preach. And an outpouring of the Holy Ghost I don't think I've ever witnessed like that since. It's been my desire to see that power and that glory. And somebody asked me, said, boy, why do you shout? And I said, well, and I didn't know. I don't know. Best just to be honest. I said, I don't know. I went off and thought about it for a spell. Next time I seen that person, I said, I got an answer for you. They said, yeah, well, why? Why you shout like that? I said, because I can't help it. I have the reality of that Holy Ghost crying in my soul. He groans. He moves. He stirs. He leads. He teaches. He blesses. He anoints. He leads. He guides. It's a reality. I ain't got to check with Grandma or James Dobson or my wife to see if I'm saved. I don't think he's faking that growl. I think it comes out of his heart. I don't think he's forcing those tears. I think it just comes right out of his soul. You don't know why? Because they've got the reality of the indwelling Holy Ghost. I worry about some of you. Don't even know you. I wonder about some of you. If you ever got that well of springing water springing up on the inside, it would never have to be faked. It's a reality. I have that reality in my heart. He's in there crying. I ain't got to make none of this up. It wasn't hard for me to want to come to church tonight. It wasn't hard for me to get up and crack the book and start reading and preaching. This, I ain't no good at it, but it ain't hard. It's fun. It's a reality. When that choir was singing, my little hand couldn't help it. It just, yee-hee, that's right. Hot dog, that's good. And I was eyeballing a bunch of you and wondered where you was. It's a reality to me. I'll tell you this story and I'm done. I've told it several times. It's always funny. One of my preachers out of my church in Florida, now the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry State Director over Florida. But I remember the day God saved him. He was sitting back there in our little church, and got saved during the preaching. Got under conviction. Got broken and everything. Sat back there and got saved before we could ever do anything else. God just saved him. And he was the first one of the young preachers I've ever had in my ministry there to get called to preach. And so he was on fire. He's my age. We were about 30 minutes from a Bible college. A big one.
And any of them girls over there that couldn't find them a husband at the Bible college, they'd tell them there's a little church out there in the swamp with 25 preacher boys to go out there and get you one. And they said, it'll work because them boys will have anybody. And this old boy that got saved, his daddy had a great old big hook nose. And he did too. And we always teased him about it. We were pretty cruel to each other. It was enjoyable. And we teased. And he'd say, you boys, go head on. He said, but I'll have a wife before any of you because this is the family charm. He'd rub that nose like that and tell us it's the family charm. You boys just wished you had some of this. And so, one night in revival, here come a van full of them college girls. And one of them gals, I just have to tell you the truth, she was on the college ensemble where their eyebrows were attached to their elbows and their head was on a swivel. And as the elbow would bring the microphone back and around, their eyebrows would... Point, you know, they'd hit that like a typewriter and come back this. Back this way now. And so, boy, I mean, they were taught and trained to how to perform. Long story short, she sat on the front row and got the eyeball and old hook nose. He leaned over and found me around the pulpit and he grinned and he went. And I got tickled and he kept doing it and I sent that, you know, she gonna think you're picking that thing. Let it quit. It was funny to begin with. Now knock it off. She grew up in a Christian school. She went to a Christian college. She grew up in a Christian home. But something happened to her on the front row of our church. And let me tell you what it was. The Holy Ghost put his arm around her shoulder and whispered in her ear, you're lost. That thing got to disturbing her. It got to bothering her. It got to troubling her. She got under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Called back home. And said, you want to know what? I don't remember. I don't even know how I got saved. Just all of these years, I thought I was saved. She said, I don't even remember when it happened. And a relative told her, rebuked her and said, you just need to get out of that little church. She said, well, I don't even think I'm saved. And she said, well, and they ended up telling her, said, honey, don't you worry about it. Said, you were 4 years old, and if you don't remember it, I do. And it got worse than that. The relative told her, said, honey, don't worry about it. I know you don't. She said, but I prayed the prayer for you. I know you're saved. I'm sorry, but I ain't going to lay my head on my pillow at night with somebody else knowing I'm saved. I need to know I'm saved. She didn't last 5 weeks. Started dating the old charmer. And all we ever did was go to revivals and camp meetings. Me and a van full of Comanche Indians. And she got in the middle of it. In about the fifth week, one night at a youth rally, she just broke down, took two steps, landed on the altar in a heap, and wept her way to God. And when she got up, let me tell you, and she was from a wealthy family. And she had money and looked like it. And she could do that thing. So perfect. Let me tell you what God done with all her dignity and ours. She come up off that thing and just mascara mixed with mucus, junk going everywhere. And she just said, wow! And she shouted to that wall and back to that wall and back and back. And so... Woo! Half my boys was outside. We'd run out the side door. Our auditorium was little. And we get right out, they just run outside. I have had them 6 blocks away. And that's no lie. And the police used to come see us, too. Nearly got arrested on Easter morning one morning. They'd come to the side door, lights would go and open the door, and disturbing the peace. Wow! Move over, you know. Really, there's some stories there. Oh, heaven. Married the old boy. They're now full-time missionaries. She was our pianist. And it was nothing for her on a Sunday morning. And she kept all them sophisticated ways, but it was funny. When that reality would get real. It was nothing for us. Just have to stop Sunday morning, start, let her, and she'd come off the piano. And do the back and, that was her thing. The back and, one wall to wall shouting. That was her thing. It was a reality. And what once was fake and forced and fashioned that way by somebody else was now real to her. It was a reality. And if you ever know that God is your Father, you'll know it because the reality of the Holy Ghost on the inside, bearing witness and praying prayers in your spirit and singing praises in your spirit and weeping in your spirit and comforting and everything He does. I have the reality of Abba Father in my heart. I want you to bow your head. I want to ask a musician to come. I'm not a high pressure. I don't. This is between you and God. I'm not even going to mess with you. I ain't going to ask nobody to raise hands or nothing. I'm just wondering. I got two things to say. Number one, how many church members want to gather around this altar and beg God to send revival like you've never seen it to this church in this coming year? That's just a burden on my heart for Liberty Baptist Church. With our heads bowed, I want to ask you, do you have the reality? Do you have the reality of salvation of the indwelling Spirit? Our heads are bowed. Sister, begin to play whenever the Lord, whatever you got there. I wonder, is it a reality in your heart? Does it have to be fake? Does it have to be forced? Or is it a reality? While our sister makes music, somebody needs to make some moves toward God. While she's making music, some folks ought to be making some prayers. Is it a reality in your heart tonight? Is it a reality?